Veronique, Speaker Johnson has been talking a lot here as the shutdown commences about the need for federal budgeting in Congress to return to what's known as regular order. We haven't had that in quite a while. So can you explain for us what would a normal budgetary process be in Congress if we were to follow it?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that needs, I mean, I'm sure everyone needs a reminder because it's been a long time since we've had this. So the way it works is, like, first, the president, by law, submits a detailed budget to Congress, usually if it's done early February, and it sets his priority and outline for revenue and spending. Now, that doesn't hold a ton of water except politically, because as we know, Congress ultimately is the one deciding what the budget will look like. So then the second step is, like, the House and Senate Budget Committee draft budget resolution, and basically they set a framework and they set level of spending and revenue deficit targets and debt. And that's done usually by April 1st, if I remember. Then there are just one other allocation. I won't bore you with this detail. And then basically each subcommittee write a bill to fund specific agency and program. And that leads that entire process of each subcommittee write a bill to fund special agency leads to basically 12 appropriations bill. And then the conference, basically the difference between the House and the budget bills are brought together in conference where they iron out their differences. The final version has to pass both the chamber and the House and go to the president for signature. That's the regular budget. And of course, it needs to be done by the end of the fiscal year. This is not what we have at all. This is the end of the fiscal year, October 1st. And so far, they've only gone ahead with three of the 12 appropriations bill. And very often before the end of the year, they end up scrambling and either doing what we call a continuing resolution to continue funding from one year to another at the level of the previous year because they haven't managed to finish the process, or they do an omnibus bill where they put, like, this enormous bill with everything in it. Kind of, anyway, there are lots of ways to not follow the regular process, but what I laid out is the regular process.
And it seems in recent years we have had these giant so-called omnibus bills, Veronique, that come up around Christmas time, a time when obviously lawmakers are wanting to get out of town and get back to their family. So all the pressure comes on at that point. But in an effort to somewhat avoid that, now, Speaker Johnson is asking for a few additional weeks for the process that you just outlined to take effect. However, this past week, we had a number of votes to make that happen, and it did not as of the 1st of October. So that being the case, there's a government shutdown. Veronique, does the government really shut down?
No, some parts of the government shut down. A lot of people are not paid. The program that usually continues are the mandatory spending that are unaffected by annual appropriation, and that's, like, a big part of the budget. That's close to 70% of the budget. So that's, like, Social Security, Medicare, SNAP, food stamps, and a few other programs, the Highways Fund, Trust Fund Project, interest on the debt. That's not affected. But programs that are affected are all the stuff that we call discretionary spending. And so that's things like education, housing program, child nutrition, workforce program, health, like a bunch of other health program like the CDC and some of the IRS and things like this are affected. Even the military. So the military continue the essential programs as part of the discretionary budget that are labeled essential. So that's the military, that's air traffic controllers, for instance, some part of the IRS. These people have to work, but I think they're paid as suspended. They will be paid back when the government reopens. Other people are furloughed.
It is interesting here that President Trump and his various folks who work with him on the budget are saying, well, in terms of these so-called non-essentials, as you've just outlined, Veronique, there are some essential parts of the government that go on. Non-essentials don't. The president is saying this is an opportunity for him to legally be able to not lay off, but actually fire workers and agencies that he's been wanting to trim anyhow. So is this, in fact, an opportunity for the president to further his agenda?
It certainly is. I assume he legally can do it. I mean, obviously, the president has the legal authority to dispose of people in the executive branch. But I don't know if they're going to do it. I know that a memo was sent to the agencies. I don't know if it's also wise to do it this way, to do it the personnel route, because until Congress tells these agencies to not spend money on these programs, the programs are going to continue spending just with fewer people. So I'm not exactly sure of the wisdom of that policy.
We are talking with Veronique DeRugge, who is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. That at George Mason University. We'll have her tell us a little bit more about the Mercatus Center a little later on. Now we have this partial shutdown that is taking place here. Republicans in the House did pass a continuing resolution, a so-called clean bill. What do they mean by that?
So what they mean by this, it's a continuing resolution is basically a bill that continues in the new fiscal year. So right now we've entered the fiscal year 2026. To continue into the new fiscal year, the spending level of the last fiscal year, 2025. And so basically what this bill was doing is it was extending the 2025 levels without any addition or subtraction to the 2025 level. It was extending these levels of spending all the way, I think, to November 21st, to basically give time to Congress to do the other eight appropriation bills that they needed to do.
So the snafu then is in the U.S. Senate, where it takes a two-thirds majority to cut off debate and actually move to vote on a bill. Democrats, Veronique, have almost unanimously, I think they lost two, maybe three votes on the preliminary votes on this, have been standing up against this clean bill, which, as you pointed out, was the continuation of the 2025 budget. Hence, it was a budget that was done during the Biden administration, so it would continue, in effect, Biden-era spending levels. The Democrats, however, want to add some other things. What sort of policy issues are they trying to add to this continuing resolution that has created this stalemate?
So actually, you're very right that actually the Democrats, along with the Republicans, have voted for that level of spending, this particular level of spending, twice. One in December 2024, when they did a first continuing resolution, and once in March 2025, when they did another one. And so these are Biden-level spending that they have voted for in the past and that they've agreed to in the past. The reason why this time they refused to do so is because they wanted, if you remember with the One Big Beautiful Bill, this was a tax cut that was in small part paid for with reform to Medicaid, which resulted in a slowdown in the growth of spending of Medicaid. In part, it was doing work requirements for Medicaid, and it was also removing Medicaid for, I think, for illegal immigrants. It was closing some tax loopholes on the Medicaid side, which was only benefiting providers and states and not beneficiaries. So it was doing a bunch of things. And so they want to reinstate all of this, which basically means taking away part of the spending reform that was meant to pay for the tax cuts. So effectively, they're pushing for having the tax cuts not paid at all. The other thing that they're fighting for is that at the end of the year, a tax break to Obamacare that had been extended during the COVID pandemic was going to expire. We're not in the pandemic. We're not in an emergency. We should go back and return to regular level. And they want to make that level of tax credit permanent. And so all of these, plus they want to restore, I think, the funding for PBS and NPR. And so basically shut down the government because they wanted to spend much more money than we have.
This also, of course, impacts states, Veronique. And here in Pennsylvania, actually, the federal government can hold our beer. We're now 90 days past our budget deadline. Still no end to the Pennsylvania budget stalemate in sight. What impact does the federal failure to pass a budget on time, what impact does that have on revenue that flows into the states?
Some programs are disrupted that benefits the states. For instance, there are some education grants to the state that won't be paid for, like Title I for low-income school and Head Start. So I don't know what the states are going to do from that money if the shutdown goes on, or I don't know, housing program, like versus HUD rental assistance and community development block grants, they're going to face interruption. The child nutrition programs, I think the Women, Infant, and Children Nutrition Program also is a federally funded, state-administered program. And there are a bunch of other programs like this that will affect the state.
We will continue to keep an eye on all of these things. Veronique DeRugge of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University has been our guest today. Veronique, tell us a little bit about the Mercatus Center.
The Mercatus Center is a university research center. We do economic policies. Also, we are very focused on creating talents in the sphere of free market and classical liberal research. And so we're based at George Mason University.
And where can folks find you on the web?
The Mercatus, MERCATUS.org. And you'll find all of our work.
Veronique DeRugge, Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Veronique, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.